Hey, everybody. Like Matt said, my name is Shane Rash. I get to serve here at Watermark on the merge, the pre-married side of things, and so excited to hop over with y'all.
Yeah, and I'm Mackenzie. I'm Shane's wife. I don't work here, but I love being married to you, and you work here.
That is right. We've got two kiddos, so we have a picture of them. There it is. I was waiting for the awes. That's Breeland on your left. She is 2.5, and then Lily is 9 months. Breeland just learned how to open doors, and so everything is harder now. We're still figuring that out. Anyway, guys, we really are grateful for you to give us your time and to hear our story. And I just want to start with this, that at Reengage, you're going to hear all different kinds of stories. Some of them are crazy. Like, you're going to go, how did they make it through that? For us, I consider us just general run-of-the-mill sinners. And so our story is a little bit more just probably something that's going to relate to everybody because we're just sinners. Nothing extravagant, but we need Jesus and we need him to transform us and to help us in our marriage. So my name is Shane, and I did not grow up in church. I didn't have religion. I didn't really have any foundation. And so I just figured things out the best that I could growing up. And I figured out I like when people like me. I don't like when people don't like me. I like things that feel good, and I don't like things that don't. And that was essentially how I lived, trying to appease those things. And that meant I spent a lot of time not letting people get close. I was an only child, and I liked to keep my distance. And I learned how to escape into specifically video games and pornography, and that became a theme in my life. When I got into middle school, my dad pretty abruptly started to drink, and he developed a very quick and sudden and vicious addiction to alcohol. And so home became unsafe, and it also became, it drove me further into things like sex and drugs and things that I was doing to escape and to numb out. And I always had this fear that I would do what I saw in him. And so that kind of drove me. So when I got into college, I did really well at this thing called work hard, play hard. And it appeased my, you know, what I said was my foundation. I like when people like me. I don't like when they don't. I like what feels good. And so I lived that. But something crazy happened. There were two guys in my fraternity house who lived differently than everyone else. And they shared with me the story of Jesus. And they told me about how there was a man who was God and who lived 2,000 years ago, who had been sent by God into this world so that he could live a perfect life, die in my place for the sin that I had committed, and he had risen from the dead so that I could now trust, believe, and follow him and live in a new life, an eternity with God. And, you know, there's a lot of story there, but eventually I came to believe that that was true. And it changed everything in my life, and a lot of sin just fell right off, except specifically this addiction to pornography. For whatever reason, that had a vice grip, and it just didn't go away. And so I managed it until about 6 months into us dating. This was years later, and it came out that I had this struggle, and I had to confess it to her and seek professional help.
Yeah, I was deeply hurt by Shane's sin struggle when he confessed his addiction to me. I was mad, sad, shocked, betrayed, just lots of emotions. But even deeper down, I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me that I needed to forgive Shane. And I was reminded that just like Christ has forgiven me for all of the things that I have done, Christ was asking me to forgive Shane. So I wanted to be so mad at him, but even deeper down, I knew that Christ was asking me to forgive Shane. And so in the end, I did forgive Shane, and I was really grateful that he even came forward and shared this with me. And then we did still decide that we were going to pursue marriage after that. So unlike Shane's upbringing, I was actually fortunate to grow up in a Christian family with parents that were actively walking with God. And I accepted Christ in middle school and grew in my relationship with Christ in middle school, high school, throughout college. and was really grateful for that. In college, I got really involved in a campus ministry, the same ministry that Shane was involved in. That's how we met. And I just learned really how to share my faith with others and be a disciple of Christ. So I was so excited to continue to do ministry. So I knew that once I graduated, I wanted to work for this campus ministry.
Yeah. And so when it came to my struggle with pornography and lust, and like she said, I was part of a campus ministry, and so I was a professional Christian. And I thought if I just read the Bible more and I pray more and I do more for Jesus, that this will eventually just go away. And, you know, for some people, this sin does just fall off. For me, it didn't. And what happened was we moved to Dallas in January of 2020. I'm sorry to mention that year, but that happened, and we moved down here, and that meant that we were now fairly isolated. We were in a new place with a lot fewer friends, and so my what was a manageable pornography addiction, it was pretty rare that I was engaged in it, became more prevalent. And in that time, we also became members here at Watermark. And it was in a community, a married community group, that I did something I'd never done. I'd always confessed to God or to other guys. And in this community group of men and women, for the first time, I confessed my sin. And what happened killed me because I had confessed this sin over and over and over. And what happened was all of the girls in the room turned to Mackenzie. And they start asking her how she was doing and how she was feeling, how she was responding. And for the first time, I think I felt how my sin was impacting her. Because I had always kind of viewed it like I have a pornography addiction. So in a lot of ways, I viewed myself as a victim, that this was something that I couldn't get over, but I was really, it was happening to me. And I think in that moment, God showed me that his Spirit empowers me to live differently, and that my sin is having a real effect on this person that I say I love. And so rather than further my shame, it actually, like, God used that to create this deep desire in me to provide for her, to protect her, and to live differently. And thankfully, Jesus worked a miracle in my heart, and I saw real change.
Yeah, I was really thankful that Shane brought everything to our community group and just let us process with him, because that is hard to confess in mixed company, and he had confessed to me before, but it really stood out to me when he confessed this sin to our group, because I think it just showed me that he was really willing to cut this sin out of his life and to get help from the people closest to us. And so that really meant a lot to me. What Shane didn't know is that I was actually keeping secrets from him in our marriage too. So it was probably the last 2 months of college, my senior year of college, that I really fell into sin, thinking that I've been good my whole life, and I'm about to work for a campus ministry, so I kind of deserve to have this crazy time in life before I'm good for the rest of my life, was my thought process. And so I was getting drunk, and I ended up having relations with a non-believer that led to sexual touching, and I was just really ashamed of this. So 2 months after all of this happened, Shane asked me on our first date, and I was so ashamed that I had fallen into all of this sin. And like he said, we were professional Christians, so there was no way I was going to tell anyone about what happened. And I didn't tell Shane any of it, even when we walked through our premarital counseling, and even when Shane had confessed everything to me and what he was struggling with, I was just too ashamed of myself to talk about it. And it wasn't until 4 years into marriage, and I was 5 months pregnant with our first child, that God just really convicted me and was just showing me that there's just part of me that Shane has no idea about. And we had been married for 4 years. So I confessed to Shane everything that had happened those last months of college, and it hurt me how much it hurt him. I was just really saddened by my sin to see how it affected him and just how he didn't know the full truth of who I really was before he married me, that he didn't have the option to know me fully and still accept me, that he was already married to me. And when I heard him say these words, you know, you made me think that you were someone that you weren't, even when I had opened up to you about my struggle. That had cut me so deep and just made me so sad over my sin. And my sin had consequences was really what that showed me. And I just remember thinking that I deserve to be punished for the sin that I've committed against Shane, and I deserve to feel horrible and for him to be angry with me for a really long time because I've kept this from him. But after that first thing he said, within the next sentence, he said, "Hey, I forgive you. This sin doesn't affect the love that I have for you and how I think of you." And I was able to feel Christ's true forgiveness of my sins through the picture of marriage and through the picture of Shane being my husband and saying that despite the sin, I love you anyways and you are forgiven.
I do love you. Yeah, so these past few years now, they haven't been perfect by any means, but I think God has done some big things in our lives, especially in this place. And really one of those things is I learned that I need people. Like, I can't do this life on my own, and left to my own, I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to choose what's best for Shane. And so Proverbs 18:1 is a verse that I think of often. It says, "He who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." And that just is so true of me. And so I need people in my life. I needed those girls to show me that she was a victim. I wasn't a victim in this, and my sin was hurting her. Another one I've learned is that confession really does bring healing. Like, it transforms you. And so James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Like, if you're here tonight and this is eating at you and confession feels like the thing that's going to harm you, it's actually going to heal you. And the more that I kept it at bay, it ate at me. And I felt guilty. It was the thing that it would wake me up at night. And so, man, confession is what actually brought healing to me and to our relationship. And the last thing I want to say, because I know in a room like this, there are some of you out there that sexual addiction is part of your story right now. And I remember thinking, like, I'm never going to be free of this. And I heard different things. I heard people say that, oh, you know, if you just do X, Y, and Z, that it will just go away. Or I heard, oh, no, this is always part of you're just always going to struggle. It's always going to be hard. And what I'll say is this, like, Jesus has come to set us free. And it's a hard thing to believe, but he really does want to set us free. He didn't just die so that we would get a ticket to heaven. He actually died so that his spirit could come inside of us and work a miracle and transform us. Now, I still struggle. Like, I still have boundaries in place. I still, if there's, you know, I have to guard my eyes against temptation. But he's also changed me. Like, my desires have actually changed over time. Like, he wants to do that in your life. And freedom is a long road, but he's calling us to be a part, like, to walk with him on that road.
And I love the verse, 1 John 4:18, and it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made in perfect love." And I just love that I am fully known and fully loved by the Lord, and just fully known and fully loved by my husband too, because perfect love does cast out fear. I was living in fear for so long, and even coming up here, it's so nerve-wracking to share with you all some of my deepest sins that my mother doesn't even know. So thank you for letting me share that. But perfect love really does drive out fear.
Yeah, guys, what we learned and what we hope you hear is it really is important for both of you to be fully known so that you can truly love each other. And until they do know everything about you, they can't really love you for who you are. And we've both experienced that. And you may doubt whether your spouse could ever see you like Jesus does. And I can't speak for them, but I can speak for the fact that Jesus knows every thought, every deed in you. Everything you've ever done or that's happened to you, he sees that and he loves you. And I pray and I hope for those maybe on the other side who might hear a confession of sin. Like, it's so important for us to remember how much we've been forgiven. We knew that. So when we hear confessions, we say, hey, that hurts. This is why. But then we can say, but I've been forgiven for a lot too. And so I forgive you. Guys, thank you so much for hearing our story. We love y'all.